Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with fascinating people who are in the neighborhood here at the Conservative Political Action Conference. This is being taped because we're going to air it long after the conference has ended, but there's plenty to listen to here, folks, including our next guests who have brought to my attention something that I've heard about and been, I have to say, somewhat concerned about, but I think by the time they're done, we're all going to be terrified of, and that is the health consequences of exposure to intensive wireless energy transmissions. Our guests are Kevin Motis, who is the outreach director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and Dr. Paul Hereau, who is a professor of toxicology, physical health hazards, electromagnetism, and health at McGill University in Canada. Welcome to you both. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
So you have published yourselves, you have been speaking of, you were here at CPAC to otherwise raise awareness concerning a problem that has caused me to not use my handheld telephone next to my head, but it sounds like I may not want to have it anywhere near me for the foreseeable future, but even so, I'm likely to be exposed to a lot of this energy. So, Kevin, let me start with you. Talk about what the problem is here.
Yes.
And how serious it is.
Yeah, and you know, people say energy, but it's radiation. In the literature, this is radio frequency radiation, and people need to understand something very basic. Wireless transmitters are two-way microwave transmitters. So when you put a phone to your head, you're literally microwave radiating your head. When you put it that way, people can see that there's a problem. The industry's done a magnificent job separating the benefits in terms of convenience, which no one would argue with, from how the technology works. And we have solutions. We can have much safer technology, but we're not choosing that path. But that begins with starting with the problem. We know, and I deal with people every day who are getting very sick from wireless radiation. Neurological problems, headaches, tingling, dizziness, nausea.
No question that there's a connection between their handheld phones at their ear.
When they're near the wireless transmitter, the symptoms appear. When they go away, they go away. The relationship's pretty obvious. Then people develop cancer over time, which is very serious, and the California Brain Tumor Association focuses on brain cancer being caused by cell phone radiation. And then people getting immune system problems, women getting fibromyalgia and other issues where we never used to have these diseases, which we believe is just the nervous system going haywire. Because understand this, your
wire
heart,
being the operative
yeah,
word.
Yeah, your heart has its own current and frequency to it, and your brain has its own current and frequency to it. We're electromagnetic beings. But understand this, regular Wi-Fi is 2.4 gigahertz. That's 2 billion waves per second passing through your body, far from what's natural where your body is about 10 hertz. So billions of times more. That's just from Wi-Fi. Our concern right now is the rollout of 5G. 5G is a huge aberration from the past. Right now we're at 1 to 3 gigahertz. It's going up to 24 to 90 gigahertz, which is 90 billion waves per second passing through our body. The problem is we're going from waves that are 3 or 4 feet long down to waves that are about an inch to half an inch. As a result, we need to have cell tower transmitters every 2 to 10 homes. It doesn't travel very well. The problem with that is we know around the world, when we located near a cell tower transmitter, cancer rates are about 3 times what they should be, and neurological effects increase as you get closer to the cell tower. But most people don't live near a cell tower, so it's not that much of an issue. But with 5G, that's all going to change. The part that upsets me as a Republican is you're not going to be notified of whether a transmitter is coming near your home, and legally you will not be able to talk about health and safety based on the 1996 Telecommunications Act passed by Congress. Section 704 said only the FCC can look at environmental effects, which legally has been expanded to include health and safety. Problem with the FCC looking at it, the FCC controls it, but they're not a health and safety agency. They have no one with a biological background in their agency, and they say, oh, don't worry, it's safe. But understand this, FCC is a captured agency. People can Google FCC captured agency. That's a report done by Harvard showing the compromise. And understand this, the chairman of the FCC is a former Verizon attorney. The FCC chairman that pushed out 5G was Tom Wheeler. He's the former president and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Lobby Group. The FCC has no interest in looking at health effects, no interest in the people that are sick, and is actively ignoring the science to support it.
This is a wired game, it sounds like, in other words. Doctor, let me bring you in. Paul Heroux, this description of the kinds of problems that the Brain Cancer Association in California is focused on ought to be front and center, one would think, in these kinds of decisions about the placement of transmitters and the extent to which the public safety is really being impacted. Talk a little bit about your studies of all this that presumably bear out these concerns.
In public health, to determine that an agent is noxious, we usually use three components. We use epidemiological evidence, which means observation on the rates of diseases in humans. We also use animal experiments, and we use mechanistic evidence. And there's, do we know how these effects could occur? So if you have all three components, you have a very, very good argument to claim we must restrict the use of this agent. On the subject of epidemiology, in 2001 and in 2011, there were two large reports, about 300 pages each, that were issued by the International Agency for Research on Cancer in Lyon, France, confirming that electromagnetic radiation generally is a risk factor related to cancer, both in leukemia in children and in brain tumors in the users of cell phones. So this organization is the gold standard in the world in terms of determining what is noxious and what is connected with cancer.
And they say electromagnetic radiation is.
Yes, they say it's a 2B classification, and it's going to be updated soon on the basis of animal studies. One study in the United States performed by the National Toxicology Program at a cost of $25 million was released last week, and it confirmed the fact that this radiation in animals had the potential to produce cancer in the nervous systems, and since the nervous system penetrates many organs, it is present throughout the body. Mm-hmm. Next week, in Italy, the Ramazzini Institute in Bologna will release a similar study that confirms essentially all the results of the NTP investigation. Wow. So these studies are very, very rare because they're very, very costly, and they were meant to put an end to the controversy, and they squarely show that the animal evidence is there.
Yeah. They were meant to put an end to the controversy in favor of the business we're in rather than to raise profound questions about the advisability of going down this road. So just so I'm clear, if you were to stay with the 4G system as kind of the upper bounds, obviously, this would be a burden on people who are always looking for more and more bandwidth, presumably, and the ability to communicate more information and video and the like. But would that keep us out of a peril that you've described, or are we in danger just with the existing system, let alone what is now in prospect?
These studies in animals that confirm the risk don't use 5G radiation. They use earlier radiation. And the evidence on cancer is something that is from the past. So the answer to your question is that we have to curb our use of electromagnetic radiation and increase the use of optical fiber, which is a lot faster than wireless. In other words, we simply have to change the way the methods that we transmit data. We can have the same services. We can still have cell phones, but we have to change the way in which they're designed, the way in which they're used, and use another technique that's already in the pocket of the industry that it uses for itself, optical fiber, which is incredibly fast.
Wow. All right. So we're going to have to pause and drill down on that possible solution to this problem. Obviously, it would require considerable investment in different equipment, presumably both the transmitters and the handheld devices and so on. But we'll come back to that and discuss it in greater detail with Kevin Motis of the California Brain Tumor Association, its outreach director, and Dr. Paul Heroux of McGill University. That and much more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.